Welcome to another edition of the Wahoo Central Podcast, which we record every week in the McHugh Center at the University of Virginia. I'm Jeff White, Director of News Content for VirginiaSports.com, and joining me today is Kanan Severin, fourth-year wide receiver on the UVA football team, which hosts ninth-ranked Notre Dame at Scott Stadium on Saturday afternoon. Kanan, you're back by popular demand. Mm-hmm. This is your second appearance on this podcast. Your first was almost exactly 1 year ago.
Yeah.
How's it going?
Everything's great. I appreciate you having me on here. It's a pleasure.
You opened the season last weekend with five catches for 58 yards against UCLA at the Rose Bowl. Mm-hmm. Were you happy with your performance? I know you talked Monday a little bit about the play where you were stopped just short of the goal mm-hmm. line.
Yeah, I think it's just something for me to build on, really. I know, everyone kind of expects a lot from me. Maybe they might expect more from me. And that's what I asked for, really. That's why I work so hard. That's why my teammates work so hard, so we can be put in these kind of situations. I know that's why Matt Jones works so hard. So that's why we worked hard together, so we can be in those situations. So I know he needs me, and I need him. It's a mutual thing. So
yeah, it's funny, like your first year, if you'd had five catches in the mm-hmm. game, it would have been your career game. Mm-hmm. Now you come away feeling like, well, that was good, but you can do more.
I think my whole second year I had five catches for like 46 yards or something like that. So
it's frustrating enough for a team when it plays well and loses. Is it worse when, like last weekend against UCLA, you know you didn't come close to playing to your potential as a team, and when you look back at the game and see all the plays that got away?
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously tough as a, you know, as an athlete, as a competitor. You know, we just got to keep on working. You know, at halftime is 17-9. You know, if we score in the red zone, you know, that's 21-17, Virginia. Just got to keep on getting after it, man, keep on competing. That starts in practice. Coach Hagans always says you win the game Tuesday, Wednesday, mm-hmm. Thursday. You know, your hard days of practice, and then Saturday you can just fly around. So that's what we did this past week, and that's what we're going to continue to do throughout the season. So that's that.
They're expecting a capacity crowd Saturday for what will be Notre Dame's first ever football game in the state of Virginia. Wow. As a player, is going up against Notre Dame a big deal for you?
As a player, no, not as a player. Coach Higgins does a good job. You know, I'm lucky to have a coach that has played, you know, at University of Virginia at the highest. Also at the highest possible level in the NFL. You know, he's played Florida State. He's played the New York Giants, the whoever. He's played in the NFL. So he does a good job letting us know that don't play the team, don't play the ranking, mm-hmm. don't play their top-ranked guy, whoever it is. Don't play the name. Just play your matchup. Win your matchup. Focus on winning your matchup. You know, we face UCLA. They got about eight guys that will probably play at the next level. If I'm focused about that, I'm not going to catch half the balls I did on Saturday. So you really just got to focus on winning your matchups. Now, I would say, being from Massachusetts and a lot of Irish people up there, Notre Dame it was definitely a big thing growing up. It's kind of crazy because Brady Quinn called our game last week against UCLA, and he was on the sideline before the game talking to Coach Sanuda, because Coach Sanuda was there when he was there. And that was pretty cool, I can't lie. Yeah, that's a big dude, Brady Quinn. Now I see why he was so dominant, I guess.
If the weather forecast is accurate, there's a chance of rain Saturday. As a receiver, mm-hmm. you change anything in terms of your equipment if it's wet outside?
You know, a lot of people take their gloves off. I've never been one to take my gloves off. I've always just – I feel like you have to focus playing receiver you know, when the ball is thrown to you. But when it's raining, you have to focus that much more, really. You just got to be locked in.
You are one of the team captains, yes, along with Matt Johns, Vincent Croce, and David Dean. How often?
Matt Johns isn't the captain.
Ross Burbank. You're right. You're Burbank. Yeah. How often do the four of you guys get together? Mm-hmm. Do you get together formally and regularly and talk about kind of things to say to the team, or?
Well, what we did in the summer a lot was, you know, we really just went out to eat and just talked about what we wanted to do, how we wanted to leave our mark, how we wanted to get messages across to the team. We just thought that would be huge. And I mean, when you say formally, I kind of feel like even just like going out, you know, to eat, like going to Outback, right. You know, David Dean, Ross Burbank, Vince Croce, these are big dudes that they like to eat. So Wood Grill Buffet, we'll go there. We went there for like 2 hours. Just talk
about.
You're
known for like watching what you eat.
Yeah.
Right?
When I get around them, I get some cheap meals in there. So don't tell Randy Bird though, but. No,
you always talk about Matt, though he's not officially a captain, that as quarterback, he's in a leadership position on the offense in particular. How do you think he's kind of taken to that role this year?
Really well. Really well. That's who he is, though, man. He's a leader. He's a competitor. He's someone when your back's against the wall, you want someone like that in your corner, someone like that, someone like Matt Johns. I mean, you look at all the great teams in the college football or NFL, whatever it may be, the quarterback is most likely a great leader. And I think I see that in Matt Johns, and everyone else can vouch for that statement as well.
After catching a total of 6 passes in your first 2 seasons, mm-hmm. here, you had the quintessential breakout year, mm-hmm. in 2014. You finished the year with 42 catches for 578 yards and 5 touchdowns, which led the team in each of those categories. Now that you've had a little time to reflect, what were the reasons behind that breakthrough? Did you just work harder, smarter, better?
Just the off season. I remember just even growing up, people saying, like, you got to – I think about off season high school or something like that. You know, people say, you know, you got to work hard this off season. I'm like, yeah, like I'm gonna work hard. Like I'm gonna do what is asked of me. But you know, between my sophomore and junior year, I really just put in my head like, okay, everyone is doing ABC. I'm gonna step out of my comfort zone and I'm gonna start doing DEF. I'm gonna start doing this while everyone else is doing ABC. I'm gonna do DEF. And then when I really started doing it more and more, like for real, I just became like addicted to it. I just wanted to outwork everyone, and even when I'm working out, you know, and even bringing the other guys along with me.
I was going to ask you: Are there younger guys on the team who maybe remind you of yourself when you were younger? Guys who maybe have a lot of talent, mm-hmm. but aren't working as hard as they could or they should, and do you try to encourage those guys in particular?
I do. You know, I was lucky enough to have people in my corner that encouraged me through those times, and that was tough. I couldn't even see like why they were doing it at first, but man, when you stay positive with people, you can conquer a lot of stuff. You know, I try to stay positive with the young guys, but also it was good for me because it really just clicked for me. Like what people are telling me, like that vision people are seeing I could be. It was hard to see it. I was like, what are these people even talking about? Like, what are they saying? And then one day it just kind of clicked for me. And I just noticed what I could be and what I wanted to be. And I just changed the way I changed my thinking, and that really just changed everything.
You weighed as much as 230 pounds, I think you've said, early in your career. Played at about 210 last season. What are you now?
So after practice today, I was 205.
Have you reached the point where if you drop any more weight, you'd start losing strength? I mean, are you about as light as you would want to get?
I think Coach Ryan does a great job. Our strength coach does a great job of keeping us, you know, at good strength. You know, throughout this whole process of me losing the weight, I only went up in my strength. So really and what I realized for weight now, the weight is really just what you feel best at. Like someone's good weight is what they feel best running at and they're best with their endurance, their stamina. And I think this is really a good a good way for me to, so I can maintain my stamina, endurance all game and can play all game at a high level that I want to play at.
You mentioned Randy Bird, who is the director of sports nutrition here. Mm-hmm. How closely do you work with him? Is he maybe not as much now as you did mm-hmm. before, but was he someone you talked to a lot along the way?
Yeah, when we first got started on this, like, you know, my body fat was really high, and he was I told him I wanted to get it down, and I remember we met for, like, 5 minutes, like 10 minutes probably, our first meeting, I want to work hard, get my body fat down. We met for, like, 10 minutes, and, like, 2 weeks later, like, it didn't work, like, you know, it just wasn't working. The next time we met for, like, 2 hours. And I just told him what I want to do and what the plan was and what my goals were. And we just really started to put it into motion. And he helped me out a lot. He helped me a lot. He stuck with me. Last year, I sent pictures to him about 3-4 times a day. Everything I eat or was eating, I was sending a picture to him. And he might tell me, you need more vegetables or too much pasta, smaller portions, whatever it may be. So he really helped me a lot in that, and that's definitely the reason I had that season last year.
What was your was there a guilty pleasure you had to give up, something that was kind of your go-to food or one of your favorites that you just had to say goodbye to?
I love Ben and Jerry's milkshakes. I love Ben and Jerry's milkshakes, and that was tough right there. That was tough. I mean, I had them, but not nearly as much, which was for the best, I guess. So,
Kyle Campbell and the Virginia Sports TV crew made a 30-second commercial in February that showed you running the steps at Scott Stadium and working out in the dead of winter. And you talked about how you write the words "keep going" on your mm-hmm. shoes to motivate you when you want to slow down and take it easy. Mm-hmm. Those words been on your shoes since first year. Is that another thing that you kind of changed after your second year?
It's just something I kind of changed after my second year. Through that whole process, transition to my body and what I wanted to be. And I mean, like, and it's kind of funny because people only kind of saw the transition of my body, but it was like a transition of my body, school, social life, my whole life just did a turnaround. So, but throughout the whole thing, I remember Coach Higgins was always telling me like he would be proud of, he's proud of me, but this is just the beginning, and it's not going to be easy. He always told me, like, it's not going to be easy. If this is what you really want, it's not going to be easy. He always just tell me that. And, I just told myself, I just got to keep going. And I write down my shoes. I look at it all the time, so just reminds me to keep going, don't stop.
At the ACC football kickoff in July, you mentioned that you have the sickle cell trait.
Yeah.
What does that mean for you in terms of football and working out and running and what you're allowed to do?
Yes. Sickle cell trait is really just like, you know, it's your blood cells are circular. It will make the blood cells turn into like a quarter moon or like the top of your fingernail, so it can cause a blood clot. And also sickle cell trait, it doesn't get as much oxygen to my legs. So say like it's really like, so when we do summer training, like I am kind of monitored, like the trainers do a really good job of monitoring me and is watching my every move. And you know, when we're doing like fast drills, like one after another, like quickly, rapid fire type deal. They just have to be cautious of me because this, my recovery, my legs and my recovery, it's not the same as everyone else's. So I mean, I've had it my whole life. I really try not to think about it, but but they do a good job. The trainers do a really good job with it and just keep me prepared and everything I need to know about sickle cell trait. So it's good.
Your father is from St. Lucia, right? Yes, which is island in the Caribbean. And I think I've heard you say he still has family there.
Mm-hmm.
How often do you visit St. Lucia? Mm-hmm. What's the island life like?
in high school, we visited, like, when I was in high school, I visited, like, in during Christmas. We never went in the summers, only in Christmas. It gets cold in Massachusetts, so that was our time to really run to the beach and everything like that in St. Lucia. And yeah, my cousins lived there, my aunt, my uncle, my grandmother lives there. I mean, my dad's family is all there. Yeah, so you know, when we go back, it's awesome there. Honestly, there's not a worry in the world there. When we go, there's not a worry in the world. We're just around family, around good people, eating good. So I can't complain at all when I'm there.
You're living this year with Matt Johns, Jackson Mateo, and Ryan Santoro, I believe.
Yes, sir.
UVA fans are familiar with Matt and Jackson, but Ryan is someone they might not know much about. He came here as a walk-on, played in only two games last year, but he has cracked the rotation at wide receiver this year and was on the field a lot against UCLA. What can you tell us about Ryan that people might not know?
Hard-working guy right there. I kind of feel like that's why it's almost like birds of a feather flock together type deal. He's a hardworking guy, definitely on the field and off the field. This is a guy that's in the comm school. And he just did a Nike internship out in Oregon, which is pretty sweet.
Those are hard to come by.
That definitely says something about him and the person he is and the hard work that he's put in. So I'd be proud of him about that. And even that transition from my sophomore to from my second year to third year, he was right there with me. He was right there with me working out, working hard, doing extra stuff. And it's kind of crazy. We were talking, in my eyes, you gotta speak things into existence almost. When we were working out, we were just talking about this moment and, you know, when he'll be playing and I'll be playing. And that was at a point where we're kind of buried at the depth chart and stuff like that. So it was definitely tough to see, but we spoke it into existence. I'm happy he's getting the chance to play and show what he can do. I mean, that's a guy that's going to be successful no matter what. You know, you can't play football forever. That's a person that's going to be real successful. So I'm definitely happy for him.
T.J. Thorpe, another receiver, has his sling off, and he's chomping at the bit to get back on the field.
Yeah.
Once he's cleared to play, what do you think, you know, TJ's presence will mean for the offense and the team?
It's going to be huge for us. It's going to be huge for us. I can't wait. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be really exciting. We would see glimpses of it, you know, throughout preseason when he was healthy. I think it's going to be huge.
Andrew Ramspacker of the Daily Progress wrote a terrific article last weekend that focused on you and your childhood. Mm-hmm. You lost your mom to cancer when you were only 9. After that, your father raised you and your brother, Justice. Did that strengthen the bond between you and your dad and your brother?
Absolutely. Like I said, a lot of my family's in St. Lucia,
right,
you know, overseas. So I guess we're kind of all we had, you know, my immediate family, you know, in Marlborough, Massachusetts, we all lived together. So, that definitely created a bond that is unbreakable. You know, that was even stronger than before. My dad did a great job, and I try to thank him for that all the time. He just keeps on saying that that's his job. That's what he's supposed to do. So,
what, your brother is how many years older than you?
3 years older than me.
What, where is he these days, and does he follow your football career?
Oh, yeah. He's working in downtown Boston right now, as staff accountant. And
where did he go to school?
He went to Howard University, and then he went to Framingham State University.
Was he an athlete as well?
He was. Only in high school, though, But even growing up, like, that's probably where I get, like, my competitive nature from, just, like, from him and facing him. To this day, I haven't beaten him in a lot of stuff, like one-on-one, anything. Like, he just always never let me win, never, ever. But if you try to face me now, I bet I'll get him now, though.
I've heard you talk about choosing UVA over offers from schools such as Penn State, Michigan State, Boston College. For you and your father, football was only part of the equation, right?
Yes, sir. I mean, like I said, my dad, like going back, my dad's from St. Lucia. They don't play football in St. Lucia. So they play cricket and soccer, really. So my dad's really big on education. He came to America to get a good education. And, he even started, like, from high school, but I never forget when I decided to commit to the University of Virginia. Like I was at another school on a visit, and a really big football school, and I was just really excited, and like they were facing one of the top number one. They were facing number one team in the country, and I was like, man, sold out. I was like this is why I want to play here so bad. Like, there's 100,000 people at the stadium. I was like, man, this is where I gotta go. This is where I gotta go. I remember telling my dad, like, you know, like that's me right here. Like, the big lights, the big crowd. Like, this, I gotta come here. And we have already taken a few visits to the University of Virginia. And he told me, he's like, man, you are, like, he's like, man, I'm gonna tell you this. If you go here, if you go to this school, you'll be making a decision based on 4 years just playing football at this school. 4 years. If you go to the University of Virginia, that's a decision for the next 40 years that you'll have. That's a 40-year decision. Now you pick 4 or 40. I was like, man, when you put it like that, I guess we got to call Coach London, huh?
He's a wise man.
Yeah, huh? Exactly. So, I mean, that's just the kind of person he is. And he put me in a great spot, and I'm definitely grateful for that.
You grew up about 30 miles west of Boston. Are you Patriots, Celtics, Red Sox, Bruins across the board?
You know it, through and through. Yeah.
And then Matt Johns always talking about Philly.
Always.
Philly tough. So
always.
When those teams go head to head, you guys go at it.
I mean, it's of course. I mean, this guy. I mean, Boston is title town. I mean, the Celtics, the Bruins, the Red Sox, the Patriots. Like, I mean, there's too many winners over there, man.
All right, last question. I know you got a class to get to.
Yes, sir.
Which athlete at UVA, outside of the football team, do you most enjoy watching play his or her sport? Is there a must-see person here who you make a point of checking out when they compete?
I probably have to say, I'll say two. One is for probably basketball team, probably Malcolm Brogdon. You can just see that's another thing. Coach Higgins has all these lines and quotes and all this stuff. I'm a big quote guy and stuff. So Coach Higgins always says that you could tell how hard someone trains in the offseason based on how hard they play in the game, or just based on the way they play in the game. You know, just the way Brogdon plays, I feel that's just, you know, he can score, he can defend, he, you know, he brings the ball up the court, he'll run the offense, he'll score off the dribble, off screens, whatever it may be. I feel he's a competitor, he just competes. I'm a competitor, so I just
appreciate that.
Yeah, I can appreciate that. And also for, probably to say, for women's soccer, when she's healthy, Mackenzie Donyett. Just dominant.
Yeah, she is.
She's just dominant. I mean, but she, she's dominant. And it's funny because Coach Higgins always says, he always says, a lot of people meet at the town of hard work. And, you know, when it's almost like if in McHugh Center, like, if you see someone a lot, if you are around the McHugh Center a lot, like, you're working hard. And, like, I would always see her working hard, doing whatever she does, and, you know, whatever's kicking out there on that practice field. And then, boom, you just see her scoring all the time. So it's not a lot of stuff aren't a coincidence.
Nope. Well, two good choices. Kanan, as always, thanks for stopping by to talk.
Yep,
good
anytime.
Luck Saturday and the rest of the season.
Anytime. Thank you.
Back next week with another Wahoo Central podcast. Until then, remember to check virginiasports.com for schedules and information on all 25 of our teams. And thanks for listening.